Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shadow Web by Yasmin Gallinorn. Narrated by Cassandra Campbell. Chapter 1. I turned up the music and danced past Taryn as she handed me another spiked mocha. Ari sorted out cookie cutters on one counter while Megan measured out confectioner's sugar on another. The kitchen smelled like a bakery, and we were all half-sloshed. Taking another sip of the mocha, I closed my eyes and let out a satisfied sigh. The blend of hot cocoa, espresso, and double espresso vodka tasted like the best thing in the world right now. "Did you remember to set the timer?" Taryn asked. I glanced at the oven. "Yeah, I did. 4 more minutes." The November Gale was an annual event in Moonshadow Bay held the weekend before Thanksgiving, and all proceeds went to the food bank. Ari, Taryn, and I had recently joined not only the Crystal Cauldron, the coven that helped protect Moonshadow Bay, but the Witches Guild as well, for which we had been immediately pressed into service for the WG booth for the festival. We were slated to deliver 15 dozen cookies on Saturday morning. In fact, every witch in the guild was expected to bring 5 dozen cookies of one sort or another for the sale. When Taryn suggested we get together and hold a baking day, Ari and I jumped at the chance. Not only was my aunt a champion cook, but she was a brilliant baker. With her help, we knew our cookies would turn out right. I had chosen to make chocolate and peanut butter chip cookies. Ari was making sugar cookies, and Taryn decided to make gingerbread men. Since mine were drop cookies, I had extra time to help Ari and Taryn decorate theirs. Megan, Ari's wife, wasn't part of the guild, but we had roped her in for good measure since she was a good baker. I pulled the last batch out of the oven when the timer went off and set it on the rack to cool. I am so glad that Tad gave everybody next week off. "What did he say about you taking today and tomorrow off as well?" Ari said. "Conjure Inc. is focusing on catching up with paperwork right now, so he was fine with it. Ren told me that Tad never agrees to take a case the week before Thanksgiving, or the last 2 weeks of the year. I have to say, Tad may be a decade younger than I am, but he's the best boss I've ever had."
"You were your own boss for years," Megan started to say, but I shook my head.
"Nope. I may have made the magazine what it was, but Ellison took all the credit, and he took the reins on everything. I just ignored the things he wanted me to do that would have ruined the publication." I thought about how far my life had come in a year. Everything seems so long ago and far away, even though I only left him a year ago. Well, a year ago this month, since I was wrapping up the divorce.
"By the way, has the asshole tried texting you again?" Taryn asked. Her long hematite-colored hair was pulled back into a braid, and she was wearing a pair of jeans, a short-sleeved sweater, and a floral apron. Taryn was 68, going on timeless, and she was one of my favorite people in the world.
"No, but I woke up 3 days ago and saw that he'd called me in the middle of the night 4 times. I blocked his number, so I'm not sure what he wanted, but I wish he would forget about me and start harassing his parents instead." Ellison was my cheating ex-husband who put the A in arrogant and who had scammed me out of my half of the divorce settlement. But now, thanks to my magic and his stupidity, he was living with his family in Bellingham, and that was far too close for comfort. I wanted him to go back to Seattle and get lost in the sea of the literati he so loved.
"Did he leave a message?" Ari asked.
"Yeah, but it was garbled. I think he was drunk. I didn't call back to ask what he wanted." I began to remove the cookies from the sheet pan, carefully placing them on the island counter where they awaited their turn to be frosted. Then, sliding onto one of the tall counter stools, I took the time to savor my spiked cocoa. Aunt Taryn handed me a piping bag.
"No rest for the wicked. Get busy. Those gingerbread men are naked, and it's up to you to preserve the morality of this kitchen."
I snorted and set down my mug.
All right, but don't blame me if their clothes are all wrinkled. I began to pipe out the outline of royal icing like Taryn had shown us, trying to keep the lines even. I'm beginning to regret joining the guild. Do they do this every year?
What, you resent helping the hungry?
I think they might, as well as the summer solstice splash, Ari said with a laugh. I mean, oh, never mind. I hadn't meant it like that, but we were all three sheets to the wind, and I decided we were lucky to have made it this far without incident. I braced my elbows on the counter, trying to focus on making it through the last couple batches of piping. We were almost done when my phone rang. I sat down the piping bag and pulled out my phone, frowning when I didn't recognize the number.
Hello?
So you finally answer me.
The angry, raw voice rang out over the phone, and I groaned, mouthing, Ellison, to the others. It wasn't intentional, I said. In fact, if I had known it was you, I would have sent you right to voicemail for this call. I'm going to hang up on you, Ellison. If you have something to say to me, send me a letter or an email. However, I probably won't answer. Bye-bye. I signed off and immediately blocked that number, too. I had no idea whose phone he was borrowing, but if they were friends of his, I didn't need to know them.
He needs to let go, Taryn said, glaring at the phone.
He needs to take a flying leap off a bridge, I grumbled. Okay, back to finishing the decorating. The last batch will be ready soon. We finished making the cookies and headed into the living room, this time with some of the extra cookies we had made. I settled onto the sofa as it suddenly occurred to me that my Yule tree would be visible from both the dining room and the living room this year. Since I had the house renovated, I was still getting used to the differences. At least the nasty ghost who had taken up residence in my house was gone, and my house felt thoroughly cleansed and new. I think this year I'll bring out the special ornaments my parents had, I said, staring at the wall. Last year was still too close to their deaths, but this year I'm going all out, and I'm going all out early.
I think we all need good cheer and shiny things, Ari said.
She finished off her mocha. This has been fun. Next week is going to be insanely busy. I took today off to make cookies, and I'm taking Saturday off to go to the festival, but tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are going to be a real bitch. I'm packed with clients from 8 in the morning through 6 each night, all of whom want holiday updos. Ari was a hairstylist, and she was one of the best in town. She was also my best friend and one of the witch blood, like me. Only her magic ran to divination and the air element, and she was a natural-born empath. She bit the head off one of the gingerbread men. I had to stop answering the phone because too many women wanted me to take them on Wednesday next week, and even though I could make a fortune off them, I decided, nope, from Wednesday through Black Friday, I'm closed.
I'm glad you set your boundaries. You let them take advantage of you, Megan said. I wish you'd listen to me more.
Ari shrugged.
I know, but I can't be rude. Firm isn't the same as rude, Megan said.
Taryn sighed.
Well, I have a decision to make, though I'm deferring it as long as possible. Andrew has asked me to move in together. I don't think I want to.
Andrew was Taryn's gentleman friend. She had never been married, and I couldn't see her agreeing to even live with anybody. I was about to say so when the doorbell rang. I swung open the door, and there stood Ellison. He leaned against the doorframe, staring at me with a sneer I had almost managed to forget.
What the hell are you doing here?
I immediately blocked the door so he couldn't come charging through.
You fat cow, you damned well better answer me when I call.
His words were slurred, but they were still clear enough for me to understand. Get off my doorstep before I call the court magica. And the police. You're breaking the restraining order, and I'm pretty sure you'd rather see the cops than the court. They'll flay you alive. I was suddenly sober, all the alcohol draining from my system. Taryn joined me, peeking over my shoulder.
What the hell are you doing here, you son of a prick? Get out of here, now!
I turned to her. Call the cops. I wasn't about to say another word to Ellison. I took a step back and prepared to slam the door when he lurched forward, jamming his foot in and shouldering the door open. Without thinking, I thrust my palms out, throwing my weight against Ellison so that he stumbled back, landing on his ass with a hard thump. He began swearing up a blue streak. While I swore, Ellison could sound like a trucker on speed. As he tried to stand up, he wove back and forth, and I caught a whiff of beer on his breath.
Yeesh, you smell like a hops factory,
I said, unable to reconcile the cool, aloof, wannabe sophisticate with the drunken lout who was standing in front of me. I turned to Taryn. I don't want him driving. He could kill someone. How long till Millie gets here?
She's sending Tanner. He'll be here directly. I also left a message for the court magica.
Millie Tupton was the chief of police, a German shepherd shifter, and she was one of the good cops. I had briefly met Tanner Smith, who was as trustworthy as his boss. He was human, but as a black man, he had dealt with prejudice all of his life, so he didn't hold disgruntled feelings toward the other kin community. He knew how hard life could be for those considered on the outside. Ellison ranted as he staggered across the back porch toward the door. He started to sob at one point and threw something at me. I was behind the screen door, which I'd latched, so whatever it was landed short, and I wasn't about to jump out and pick it up.
You're to blame. She laughed at me. She said I was a loser, and she told me to get dressed and run home to my mother.
Now Ellison dropped onto his ass, absorbed in his tears.
And I turned to you, and you didn't answer.
Ari and Megan peeked around the corner. Ari gasped. Ellison? What the ever-loving fuck is he doing here? Apparently, he's crying on my front porch, I said. Am I ever going to be free of this fool? I turned to Taryn. Can't we cast a forget spell on him? Make him forget all about me? He didn't want me when he had me, but now that he can't have me, he won't let go. At that moment, a police car pulled up. Tanner Smith stepped out, buff enough to take on anybody. He was fiercely loyal to his job. He darted through raindrops that were pelting the ground. The wind had picked up and was shuddering past, whipping by with the few last leaves off the trees.
When did he show up?
He asked, pulling out his notebook. Well, I blocked his number, so he found somebody else's phone and called from that a little while ago. I hung up on him, and he showed up here on my doorstep. You know I've got a restraining order from the courts, and from the court magica.
This is the second time he's broken it, right?
Tanner asked. That was easy. Yes. He's tried to call, tried to text, all of which are forbidden under the ruling. Since we had no children together, and technically we have nothing to talk about, it's a total no-contact order. He's broken it right and left.
Right. We'll haul him down to jail, and tomorrow we'll send him to the courts. Come down tomorrow morning to formally press charges.
Tanner slapped a pair of cuffs on Ellison and dragged him away. As I watched him go, I wished that I'd never see Ellison or hear from him again. Thanks, Tanner. I spoke directly to Tanner, ignoring the now blubbering Ellison. I swear that man is going to drive himself off a cliff one of these days to prove a point. He's one of the most self-destructive people I've met.
Hasn't he always been?
Taryn shook her head. We closed the door and headed back into the kitchen. By the time we had packed up the cookies, it was almost time for Killian to get home. I foraged in the fridge for something to throw together for dinner, but all I could find was a box of frozen fish sticks and some stale bread. We had used up all the eggs making cookies, and I'd run out of bacon the day before. Surprised that I hadn't noticed the lack of food, I loved to eat and cook, I decided that I needed to go shopping soon. I'd been too swamped to shop of late.
"What are you going to tell Killian?"
Ari asked. "You know if he finds out, he'll tear apart that jail cell and throttle Ellison."
"Which is precisely why I'm not going to tell him," I answered. "The last thing I need is for Killian to get himself tossed into the slammer for storming the jail cells."
"Good luck with that. You know you have trouble lying to him," Taryn said, sliding into her coat.
"Hold on. Are you good to drive?"
I pointed to the vodka bottle. We had put quite a dent in it.
"I'm not letting you drive unless I know you're sober. And I'm not going to lie to him. I'm simply not going to tell him."
"Good luck with that." Taryn gave me a long look.
"I'm fine. You know I can handle alcohol better than most grown men."
She was telling the truth. My aunt did have the ability to process alcohol better than about anybody I had met. I turned to Ari.
"What about you two?"
Megan spoke up.
"I only had one drink. My second mocha was straight, no booze. I promised to be the designated driver.
I'll tell you what, we'll drop Taryn off at her house to set your mind at ease, and tomorrow she can come get her truck."
"I'm going to need that truck first thing tomorrow morning," Taryn started to say.
"No worries, when Killian gets home, he can drive it over. You only live a few blocks from here, and I'll come with him and then we can walk home. We can bring your cookies with us." Satisfied, I let them gather their coats. Ari and Megan took their cookies with them while I stacked the rest in the pantry, and I made sure the door was firmly shut. While the cats didn't eat cookies, they liked to play with boxes, and these boxes opened easily and squashed flat when a fat cat butt sat on them, and Klaus had grown into being quite the chonky cat. As they headed out, I turned back to the kitchen. My guests had helped clean up, but there was always some sort of letdown that came at the end of a party. That, along with the adrenaline rush from seeing Ellison standing at my front door, had drained the joy out of my veins. Now I was riding on the tail end of a sugar high, and the imminent crash from eating too much sugar along with too much booze was threatening to hit at any time. I was about to text Killian to ask what he thought about eating out when I noticed that I had new email. Frowning, I did my best to keep my email down to a manageable number. I glanced to see who it was from.
The Witches Guild? What? They want more cookies?
I opened it up.
"Dear January, we're writing to remind you that the annual Winter Solstice Festival is quickly approaching. Since your specialty is research and your grandmother is Rowan Fire's song, we thought we'd ask you to research ancient festivals to find something we can use in our tableau of solstice rituals through the ages. We'll see you with your results on Saturday night. Welcome aboard."
I stared at the email and groaned. Just one more thing in my busy schedule that I didn't need.
Chapter 2. After Killian and I dropped off Taryn's truck, he took me to Ruby's, a small Italian restaurant. It was quiet, intimate, and their food was top-notch. By then, I realized that I had to tell him about Ellison. The cops had been at my house, and somebody would mention it to him at some point. But I decided to wait till we were immersed in the main course. Carbs softened many a blow. I ordered an appetizer of scallops wrapped in bacon, and then the fettuccine Alfredo with chicken parmesan. Killian ordered a shrimp cocktail, and then for his entree, calzone. Neither one of us wanted wine, and I decided that I'd give myself a caffeine break, so I ordered spiced cider to drink.
"How was your day?"
Killian asked, stirring sugar into his coffee.
"Eventful," I said,
trying to hold off talking about Ellison until the food got there. We baked 15 dozen cookies. Well, more like 21 dozen, so we'd each have a couple dozen left. So I was able to check that off the list. I paused, then added, Aunt Taryn is getting nervous. Andrew appears to be taking their relationship more seriously than she is. She's afraid he's going to propose. Killian laughed.
I doubt any man will ever be able to get your aunt to the altar.
I snorted. Taryn and marriage are words that don't belong in the same sentence. I paused as the waitress brought our appetizers. Killian dug into his shrimp, dipping one of the breadsticks into the cocktail sauce. Good? He tried to speak through a full mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It was now or never. Something else happened today. Something not so good. Frowning, he set down his breadstick.
What?
I decided to rip the bandage off. Ellison showed up drunk on my doorstep. That did it. Killian straightened, his eyes darkening. I could tell his wolf was up.
What did you say?
Ellison showed up at my door to yell at me for not taking his phone calls. We called the cops, and they carted his ass off to jail for breaking the restraining order. I hurried to add, please don't go off half-cocked about this. Killian paused, his gaze locking mine. After a moment, he said,
Ellison is a lucky man right now. He's got iron bars and cops between him and me. If he didn't, I'd mop the floor with his ass and then chuck him in the bay.
His voice was so low that it almost scared me. I know, I know. Please, though, don't get yourself in any trouble. He's not worth it. You won't do anybody any good if you get yourself locked up over his sorry ass. The look in his eyes alarmed me. Killian was protective. He was an alpha wolf shifter, and while he wasn't the leader of his pack, he had the potential to be. One thing I'd found out about dating shifters, especially wolf shifters, was that they protected their friends and family, and since I was his girlfriend, I was family at this point. Killian leaned back in his chair, trying to restrain himself. He was gorgeous at all times, but when he was angry, he was positively magnetic. His hair, a wheat brown mane of curly strands that fell to his shoulder blades, was pulled back in a ponytail. At 6 feet, he was about 3 inches taller than me, and he was sturdy and muscled, but not totally ripped. All in all, he was a striking man with brilliant green eyes, and I was madly in love with him. After a moment, he relaxed.
You say he's locked up.
I nodded. I am going down there to press charges tomorrow morning.
You'll go down there after dinner, and I'm going with you. Ellison's going to learn that trying to mess with you will only buy him trouble, not only with you and not only with the law, but with me.
He let out a long breath.
All right, let's eat. We'll set this aside until later.
Relieved that he hadn't gone charging out of the restaurant, I went back to my scallops. I told him about the email from the Witches Guild. I have no idea what they want me to do for them, but apparently I'm part of the Solstice Festival as well as the November Gale. Killian let out a laugh.
Once you join any organization, they'll rope you in for everything they can.
He paused as the waitress cleared our dishes. When she was gone, he continued.
So, I got a letter today.
From whom? I asked, so relieved to be off the subject of Ellison that Killian could tell me he signed up for a trip to the moon and I'd be okay with it.
My application to join the Rainier Wolf Pack is official. I'm no longer packless. It's been a while since I moved from California, and it's time to get settled. I figured I might as well join the pack my parents belong to. They're progressive, and I like that.
He smiled, and by his tone of voice, I realized how long this had been weighing on his mind. Wolf shifters didn't do well when they were out of a pack. Lone wolves were the exception, not the rule. Wolves and their shifter kin were pack-oriented. They worked better when they were part of a larger group. And the Rainier pack was progressive compared to a number of wolf packs. Wolf shifters tended to be more patriarchal, but every so often a pack broke with tradition. From what Tally, Killian's sister, had to say about the Rainier pack, they were much more supportive of women in leadership roles. Will you have some sort of swearing-in ceremony? I was facing my own initiation into the Crystal Cauldron Coven, which protected Moonshadow Bay, in a few months. Until then, I was beginning to get a feel for being part of the elite magical group. The Witches Guild, on the other hand, had more of a country club-type atmosphere for those of us who were witch blood. Not everyone was accepted, but it was far more social than the coven.
Yes, I will, and I'm hoping you'll be there to see me inducted.
The hope in his voice was evident. I reached across the table for his hand. You know I'll do everything in my power to be there. Pausing, I added, They aren't going to haze you or anything like that, are they? He shook his head.
Some packs actually make you fight the Omega. If you win, you move into the general pack populace. If you don't, you have the option of becoming the runt, as the Omega is often called, or you can choose not to join.
I wasn't clear on all the terminology, but Killian's explanation was pretty self-explanatory. I'm glad you won't be doing that. I don't think I'd want to see you in a fight.
They can be bad, he said. Both combatants usually come out pretty roughed up.
I swirled the noodles around my fork. Do women fight when they join too?
He nodded. Most female wolf shifters aren't ever rogue or lone, though sometimes if the alpha male of the pack dies, then the alpha female must fight the beta's mate in order to stay. Usually, the beta moves up, becoming the alpha. He'll have the option, if he's single, of marrying the alpha bitch so she can stay alpha. If he's married, she'll have to fight the new alpha bitch to be allowed to stay in the pack.
I stared at him. I had no idea pack dynamics were so complicated. Killian finished off his calzone.
There are so many things you learn as a shifter. If you can make it to my swearing-in ceremony, remember, never stare at the alpha or his mate. You can look at them if they're talking to you, but if you stare when they aren't, it's considered a challenge.
Oh, good gods. I hope I don't mess up things, I said.
You won't. I have faith in you, Killian said. Now finish your entree. Do you want dessert?
He pushed aside his plate. Even though Ruby's had excellent desserts, I was comfortably full. I finished my last bite of the chicken and then leaned back, satisfied. No, I ate more cookies than was good for me today. I saved some for you, by the way.
Good. I love cookies.
He motioned for the check.
Then we'll get out of here and drop down to the station to press charges. Maybe I can get in a swipe at Ellison while we're there.
At my look of horror, he laughed and added,
I'm joking, I'm joking.
But I knew he wasn't. So, my name is January Jackson. I'm 42, curvy, 5'9", with long hair that's currently a red violet. I'm what's euphemistically called plus size, though honestly, most American women are size 14 to 16, so why we're considered plus is ridiculous. We are the norm, not the outliers. So, yeah, my measurements are bountiful, and I no longer cringe when I see myself in the mirror. Last December, I moved back to Moonshadow Bay and took over the family home to make a whole new life for myself. My parents had died in a car crash 5 months before that. I still miss them horribly, but I am learning to live in a world where I was suddenly orphaned and divorced. But I have a wonderful boyfriend, good friends to hang out with, a job I enjoy,
and am good at, and two cats.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?